We love you. We worship. We bless your holy name. Thank you because we are here because of you. We love because you first loved us. Thank you because you are the one that has redeemed us, Lord God, Father, by things precious, Lord God, more precious than gold and silver, even by the blood of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you are the one that laid down your life for us. Thank you because you said, I'm able to lay it down, I'm able to take it up, Lord. And it is because of us, Lord God, that you humbled yourself, Lord God, to behold the things on the earth. Yes, you who the heavens cannot contain, you humbled yourself to come to earth to save us, to die for us, Lord God. All because of us, we worship you, Lord Jesus, High Priest. You are our Redeemer, the Good Shepherd. You ever live to make intercession for us, Yahweh. Yes, Yeshua HaMashiach, the living King, the resurrected King. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, King of glory, King of saints, blessed Spirit divine, Spirit of truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We bow our hearts, we bow our knees, we humble ourselves under your might, and thank you, O King of saints, King of glory. Thank you, O Lord God, for your presence. Thank you, O Lord God, because the heavens are thy throne. Even though the heavens cannot fill you, the earth is thy footstool, the same earth that you walked in, O Lord God, that I may walk, O Lord God, and live like you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace even in this place. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Thank you because you are the living word, and where the word of a king is, there is power. Power to save, power to deliver, power, O Lord God, for godliness, power to get wealth, power, Lord God, of healing, power, Lord God, to become more like you, to think like you, to talk like you, to love like you, to walk like you, to demonstrate, Lord God, Father, to principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord, just because you have been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, saving us to the uttermost. Wonderful Lord, Holy Spirit, great teacher, our helper, Yahweh, yes, the God, oh Lord God, who is at our right hand to strengthen us, to enable us, you guide us in the way we should go, the guide of our youth, the living God, the loving God, the faithful God, the mighty God, the everlasting King. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you cause the name of Jesus to be glorified in our lives. Thank you as you cause, oh Lord God, his power in healing, in health, in total well-being, in transformation, in renewal of mind, oh Lord God, Father, to be made manifest. Thank you because you do great and mighty things in us, through us, for us, all around us, to the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Let's give God a clap offering. Yahweh. 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 Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus. Let's give God a clap offering. Come on, guys, let's give God a clap offering, thanking him for his presence in our midst. We do not take it for granted. God will continue to grant us more mercy, more of his presence every day, every night, every hour, every minute, every second, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Make sure the Lord bless you. We'll go straight into the word, and we'd like to bring greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bishop and Shepherd of our souls, with the covenant of our fathers, Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give God a clap offering for our fathers and the house. We thank God for their lives. We pray that they will see the child of their souls in their lives, in our lives, and they will be satisfied in Jesus' name. I also bring warm greetings from Prof. He will not be able to join us today physically, but I trust that by the grace and mercy of God, he is joining us by the power of the Spirit and the technology that we have at this time. We'll go straight into the word. And if you're joining us for the first time either here in church or online, we welcome you to Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. In the past few weeks in this month, we've been doing a series titled The Fear of the Lord. Let's say together, The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. Okay, so being the last Friday of the month, I trust this is what God has laid upon my heart. I know that Prof also spoke extensively on this last week, talking about the benefits of the fear of God and concluding on how we can fear God, talking about acknowledging God, being honest and humble, being quick to repent, you know, quick to obey, you know, recognizing that God is a person. You know, you can find this message on social media, on Instagram, as well as on the website zionstonline.org, so that you can, you know, refresh yourself. You know, because I even had to listen to it myself because I wasn't here. You know, so that's the blessing that God has given us in technology. So if you are here, you have no excuse not to remember. If you are not here, you have the power of technology to help you to refresh yourself and remember. So today, by his mercy and grace, I am going to continue in this respect. And I think there are points that I have, you know, by His grace and mercy, having studied on the fear of God, having heard about it, and also beginning to exercise myself in it. And I'll try, by His grace and mercy, believe that God will help us, you know, to see the importance of the fear of God. You know, when we started this message, there was something we talked about, that the fear of Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True or false? It's also the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is wisdom. It got to a point, the Bible says the fear of God is wisdom. It's got to a point where it says, you know, the fear of the Lord, you know, is the whole of man. Like Prof was saying last week, and he ended, said let us hear the conclusion of the matter. It says, fear God and do what? Keep His commandments. Let's say together, fear God and do what? Keep His commandments. Telling us that from A to Z, the fear of God is the beginning, and the end of it is the fear of God. Are we together? The fear of God is the beginning, is the principal part, and the end of it is also the fear of God. There are some things I would like to, I believe God has laid upon my heart, that I would like to run us through. I know that by His grace, I might say it won't take long, but it's important to talk about these things. Because you see, God's emphasis has always been and will always be, or the number one thing, like we said, it's not change. It is us that will have to change. You know, has always been and will always be that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Or rather, the fear of God is the what? The beginning of wisdom. Are we together? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, it says the fear of God, that is wisdom. In Job 28:28, I know Prof talked about it. And talking about the whole of man, he said the duty was in italics. You know, showing that it wasn't there originally. It was just the translators that had to put it there so that it seems to make more sense. But really, what God was saying by the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was saying is that the whole of man, the whole of you and me, is to fear God and keep His commandments. But the fear of God hasn't been preached much, hasn't been talked about much, and because people have had a misconception of the fear of God. Because when we talk about fear, there is something that comes to our mind. Are we together? True or false? True or false? True. Because Satan himself has a fear that he injects into humanity, or that he has injected into humanity. And when Adam and Eve fell, one of the first things that happened is that the fear of the Lord was translated upside down, such that God had to say, Adam, where are you? And one of the things the guy said was, because I was afraid. Do you understand? He used, there is a positive fear, and we'll talk about it today. There is a healthy fear. But you can see when Satan toppled everything, it's just like saying, leave. If you spell leave backwards, it's going to give you what? Evil. Do you understand? Satanic nature is a distortion of divine nature. The fear of God and the satanic fear that Satan brought to make us afraid of God is a direct opposite of what Adam and Eve had before. Are we together? So what God is trying to say now is, look, I want to bring you back to the beginning. I want to bring you back to what I mean by the fear of God, and understanding of the fear of God. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the principal part in our relationship with God. Let me tell you. There's a place in Deuteronomy, I've had it in my mind, but I didn't check it. So if you can help us find it in somewhere in Deuteronomy. When he was talking about fearing God, loving God, walking with God, you know, and serving God, the first thing that comes is fearing God. Loving God is not the first. Serving God is not the first. Walking with God is not the first. The first is the fear of God. The fear of God will always be the beginning and the number one in God's lineup of attitudes, of attributes, of character that He wants from us. Yes, God is love. But it is also important for you to know that in the Bible, in fact, as we'll get to see, I'm going ahead, but as we'll get to see, when Jacob was talking about the God of his fathers, and people don't really talk about this, when I was researching and reading that, I think it was in John Bunyan's book about the fear of God, that revelation came that when he was describing the God of his fathers, saying the God of Abraham, he called it the fear of Isaac. He didn't call him the God of Isaac. He called him the fear of Isaac. God can be your fear. And again, that's where we're going to start from. What the fear of God is not. God wants to demystify the wrong understanding or the wrong idea or the wrong teaching or the wrong idea is the word I should use, or thought and understanding of what his fear is. But let us start with what the fear of God is not. See, the fear of God is not something you should be afraid of. Turn to neighbor and say, the fear of the Lord is not something to be afraid of or to despise. Rather, it is something to treasure. Give me Isaiah 32. Give me that verse. I really love that verse. Isaiah 32, where it says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord. Again, when we talk about the fear of God, always put at the back of your mind that we're talking about a healthy reverence of God, a healthy awe of God, a healthy respect of God. Imagine somebody that you respect. Just think of somebody that you respect in your life as I'm talking. Can be your dad, your mom, can be your pastor, can be a teacher. I'm not talking about someone that you're afraid of. Somebody that you respect. You can communicate with, but you give him that respect, that awe. You give him that awe and reverence. When he's talking, when he walks into a place, you can communicate with him. You can talk to him or her. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can dialogue, but you're not afraid. But you respect the person. And you see, one of the teachings I used that God brought back to me, you know, as I prepared for this message, is the book by Derek Prince. He's one of Pastor's spiritual fathers. He's going to be with the Lord now, you know. And I'll tell you the title of the book by the end. But, you know, the point I'm bringing, he's talking about the fear of God, because there are very few books on the fear of God. The Bible is the number one book on the fear of God. And a few people have now talked about the fear of God, but not too many people talk about the fear of God, whereas it's one of the most important things. You can see that how the devil, you know, has seemed to sidetrack, you know, and emphasize the things, majored on the minors and minored on the majors. And so, the fear of Lord is not something that we should be afraid of or to despise. And by the end, I believe that by his mercy and grace, you will know that the fear of God is something that you should treasure. Let's read it. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is what? I can't hear you. The fear of the Lord is what? Do you know what treasure is? What is God's treasure? The fear of God. What does God treasure in a relationship? His fear. Not being afraid. The Bible says we will come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help at time of need. It didn't say we will come afraid. It said we will come boldly, but respectful. Boldly and respectful. So we're talking about fear. We're talking about a healthy reverence, a healthy awe, a healthy respect of the King of Glory. It says the fear of the Lord is his treasure. What God treasures is what you should treasure. Are we together? His fear is what we should treasure. That's Isaiah 33:6. Now, what the fear of God is not is what I want to quickly say. Because Satan has sold us a lie. When you hear the fear of God, you say, no, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to touch it all. Let us not go there. The very thing that is wisdom, the very thing that has immense benefits, and Prof was talking about them last week, and of course, you can also search it yourself. We'll talk about some of them today. You know, that which God treasures, the very thing God treasures. Let us talk about what the fear of God is not. So many people are afraid of what God might say to them, but they don't need to be, you know. Much of what God tells us in his word about his fear has eternal benefits. Now, number one thing the fear of God is not. Well, before I go, let me just ask you a simple question. And, you know, by the end of the service, you must make sure you're able to answer this question and check, you know, whether the word has helped you to gain and overcome this evil fear of the fear of God. Ask yourself, are you afraid of the fear of God? Are you afraid of that teaching? Are you afraid of hearing it? Are you afraid of walking in it? And you see, the reason is because we don't have revelation and understanding of it. But God wants to. He's going to give us revelation and understanding today in Jesus' name. He'll be magnified, like they sang, you know, Imole Made Okukun Makparada. You know, the light of the fear of God and understanding and the benefits and the treasuring of it will dispel the darkness that Satan has sold us and the lie he has sold us in Jesus' name. Now, so the fear of God is not natural fear.
the type of fear that a baby has. You know, babies, they are afraid when nobody's around. They're afraid of noise. I don't know whether you've seen babies. The fear of God has nothing to do with that. The Bible says, we'll come bold and cry, Abba, Father. Do you understand? So the fear of God is not being afraid. It's not that natural fear that comes, even though all the fears that are not the fear of God, many of them spring up from the devil. Do you understand? They're all satanic. They are human nature, satanic nature, distorted, corrupted fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because a baby needs not be afraid. But when a baby, being a baby and tender, noise. Once they hear noise, you will see them shake. Do you understand? So the fear of God is not natural fear. Say the fear of God is not natural fear. You know, the type of fear that a baby has when they are hungry or when they are alone or when they hear noise. Do you understand that? Are we together? What again is the fear of God? What is it not, rather? The fear of God is not demonic fear. Say the fear of God is not demonic fear. See, there is a fear that springs up from Satan. Give me, I believe it's 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. So God is trying to see, God is trying to teach us. That's the word. He's trying to bring us back, which is one song you sang last week. Bring us back to that heart of worship. And that heart of worship, there is a healthy respect for him. Think of this. You're on top of a mountain that is above the sea. And from that mountain, you are seeing ocean. You are seeing the beauties of the waves. You are seeing flowers and vegetation. But you also know that once you step off that mountain, you're going down. See, on that mountain, you can see the whole earth. You can see the beauty of the earth, the beauty of God's creation. You're admiring it. You're enjoying it. You know, like Moses was on top of the mountain. You're enjoying it. But you know that if you misbehave, not because God is wicked, but because he has set rules. And once you violate any of those rules, then there is another law that is set that will bring you down. Are we together? So it's not as if God is going about holding a cane and just waiting for you to mess up and then beat you. That's not what we're talking about. That is not what God said. That is not the fear of God. Are we together? Good. So we said the fear of God is not demonic fear, which is another type. It says, let's read together. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But we're talking about the fear of God. God has not given us spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of what? Love, and of a what? Sound mind. So when we say the fear of God, it is not this. It is not an evil or diabolical or demonic fear. Because there is a fear that springs from Satan. Demonic fear, of course, proceeds from Satan. If you can get me that verse in Hebrews chapter 2, which says that due to the fear of death. Give it to me. Give it to me in Hebrews chapter 2. I didn't write it down, but I just noted that verse. I just noted the chapter. Hebrews chapter 2. If anybody can quickly find it. We need to dissolve the lies. We need to dispel and see the darkness, you know, of Satan's lies totally dispelled from our lives so that he does not shortchange us, you know, of believing his lies and then shortchange us of the benefits. Thank you. And shortchange us of the benefits of fearing God. Where every day we are going to delight ourselves in the fear of God and choose the fear of God. Do you understand? When people hear you say, I choose the fear of God, or I delight in the fear of God, they will say that, they'll say, Are you okay? And the reason why they will say that, they might not say it to their mouth, but they can think it in their thoughts because the word fear they have always heard has been the negative thing. You know, when I was young, I didn't like cockroach or being in the dark. I remember flying cockroaches. I will, when I'm watching a movie and I'm alone in the parlor, you know, and I just say, a flying cockroach, forget. You won't see me in that parlor again. I'll leave the TV. I'll just run. They'll be wondering, why didn't you put off the TV last night? You won't be able to tell them. You understand? Or the fear of medicine. When you send them medicine, you just throw it up or put it under the couch. It's when they are sweeping under, they will see all kinds of medicine. You know, so we had this fear when we were small. That is not the fear we're talking about. Because the Bible talks about what you're saying, Abba, Father. Now, we're talking about demonic fear. Hebrews chapter 2. And deliver them who through what? Fear of death, where all their lifetime subject to bondage. who is the one that is spring from which this fear of death is springing from is the devil. It says it there somewhere in maybe the next verse or the previous verse. You know, so we are not talking about the fear of the Lord has nothing to do with this kind of fear. This is a diabolical fear. This is a demonic fear. This is not the fear and the spirit that God has given us. So another thing you need to know about demonic fear. Yes, he himself likewise took part with him that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Satan is behind this one. Are we together? So he sold us a lie over the years, and he has dominated, well, he seemed to have dominated the word fear. And anytime we hear the word fear, because that's what we're born into that system, when we hear the word fear, we believe anything fear is bad. Anything fear is being afraid. Anything fear, you know, is of the devil, but the fear of God is not like that. So the fear of the devil, or the diabolical fear, is from the devil. And then something you must know about that fear that springs from the devil is that it will always tend to make you disobey God. It will keep you from obeying God. Are we together? It will keep you from obeying God. Demonic fear tends to keep us from obeying God. And finally, about this demonic fear, before we go to the next one, what the fear of God is not. The demonic fear, which is not the fear of the Lord, is tormenting. Diabolical fear, demonic fear, is tormenting. 1 John 4:18. Give me 1 John 4:18, 17 and 18. Let's quickly look at that. 1 John 4:18. Please try and hurry up. Yes. Let's read it together. Give me 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You see, we are talking about the fear of God. Yet, you keep hearing the word boldness come up and up. God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We come boldly before the throne of grace. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Yet, he mentions the fear of God. So when he's talking about the fear of God, he's not talking about being afraid. He's talking about having a healthy respect and awe, and reverential awe of God. And here it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is what? I can't hear. There is no what? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So when we're talking about this kind of fear, we're not talking about the fear of the Lord. This is the diabolical fear. This is the fear that springs from the devil. The fear of the Lord is not tormenting. Demonic fear is tormenting. Demonic fear makes you afraid. You'd have heard of phobias, you know. Phobia is a natural or diabolical fear. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of lifts. Some people are afraid of being in a contained place. Some people are afraid of different things. They have phobias. You understand? But it is not of God. Because God has not given a spirit of fear. Are we together? So the fear of God has nothing to do with phobia. It's not a tormenting fear from the devil. You know? And it has no place in a Christian life. Another fear that the fear of God is not. If these are the things that we're able to deal with today, if these are little hills and mountains in our lives you need to bring down today, I would have done justice to it, so that you know that the fear of God is something that you should delight in, because it is the principal part of wisdom. It is the principal part of God's character. It is the principal part of God, which is love. It is the principal part of love. The principal part of love is wisdom. And the fear of God is wisdom. Now, another fear that the fear of God is not is religious fear. Say religious fear. Religious fear. See, you have to understand that Christianity is not a religion. I know in BK and CRK, all our lives, if they tell you the types of religion, or what religious group are you for, if you are filling a form, you are forced to write Christianity. But in the reality, Christianity is a lifestyle. You are living the life of the resurrected King. The King that died for you, you are living out of his love. It's a lifestyle relationship with the resurrected King. It proceeds from him, is lived by his life unto his glory. The Bible says that we in him we what? Live, move, and do what? Have our being. And you know where Paul had to teach them that scripture, or had to quote that poet for them, was in a place where there were many religions. It was when he was in Ephesus. And they had all kinds of idols, all kinds of images, all kinds of things erected, signifying all kinds of religion. And then he just saw one altar to the unknown God. And that was what set, quote unquote, that religion apart. That was what set that lifestyle apart. In the midst of all kinds of religion, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, all kinds. You can name them. There's so many all around the globe. And all kinds of philosophies. There was one. They wrote to the unknown God. And that's what we're talking about. In him we live, move, and have our being. In the resurrected King. In him who died for me, who came here because of me and you, who died for us and rose up on the third day for our justification, who loved us so much to give his life for us, who loved us so much to become man and to be ridiculed by his creation. And then on the third day, he rose up for our justification and went to heaven. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he will not rest until he has all his enemies under his feet, which is the feet of his church. And he sees us like him, doing the works that he did and do what? Greater. And so, the fear of the Lord is not a religious fear. Give me Isaiah 29:13. And I'll just read it here. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people, Israel, draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. And the Lord just quoted this verse in the book of Matthew. So the fear of God is not a religious fear. It's not a kind of fear that generates hypocrisy. Have you seen that kind of thing, or have you been in that kind of situation where outside you're so yourself, quote unquote, but when you enter into church, you just start walking somehow, and you just start talking somehow. That's a religious fear. It's hypocrisy. I mean, that's a surface hypocrisy. I mean, you're just putting on a facade. You know, but when the person gets out, they're another kind of people. But when they're in church, it's another kind of person. That's a religious fear. You know, it's practical hypocrisy in a form. Hypocrisy is facade. You know, it's gotten from a Greek word. It's just facade, putting a face over the original face. Are we together? So, the fear of the Lord has nothing to do with religious fear. Have you heard people when they are praying, they begin to talk like maybe their favorite pastors? I know that thing happens. I know it. It can happen, but it doesn't make God hear you more. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make God hear you. Even if you quote King James, old King James, quoting old King James doesn't make you more sanctified. Now the guy quoting Good News or the Passion, do you understand what I'm saying? Or quoting Amplified or quoting NIV, nothing like that. God doesn't work with all that. We appreciate that you can speak King James, but does it make you more sanctified or more holy? The fear of God has nothing to do with that kind of religious fear. Because a religious fear can give it in an outward show, but it never changes your heart. Are we together? A religious fear will give an outward show. That's what I'm saying. Like the Pharisee. We consider the Pharisee and the tax collector. Say, I've come, you know, I always come to church. You know, I always put my offering. The other guy said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've messed up, but have mercy on me. The Bible says that one, the tax collector, left more justified than the Pharisee. You can think of a Pharisee as a pastor or, you know, some religious fellow. So, like we say, Christianity is a religion. It's not a religion. It's a lifestyle. You know, you are living from him, by him, in him, to his glory. Are we together? It's all because of him. So, the kind of religious fear makes people act. Their religion consists in drama. It's dramatic facade and in role-playing. You know, like I said, you can enter a church building, you know, you have that demeanor, you know, and that look, but it doesn't mean the heart is changed. That kind of fear, like we're saying, does not change the heart. And you see, it's based on what somebody has taught, or maybe the way somebody acts that you two are copying or imitating. But rather, let's imitate, like Prof was teaching last week, being the fear of God, it has to do with honesty and humility. It's a heart thing. Are we together? It's not so much of a voice thing. It's not so much of calling God the way my favorite pastor calls God. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't invoke more of His presence, because it's a relationship. Do you understand? The reason why maybe my favorite author, my favorite pastor, someone I look up to calls God Father or Abba or Daddy or anything is because of relationship. You must always get that. Are we together? And we too must emulate, follow as I follow Christ, you know, emulate and imitate the relationship, the depth of relationship. Because that's what the fear of God is. Are we together? It has to do with relationship and a lifestyle. You know, it was Kenneth Copeland that was saying what I said now. It's not so much of speaking old King James. Doesn't make it holier. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's a heartfelt thing. Now, let's talk about something the fear of God is not again. The fear of God is not the fear of man. Say the fear of God is not the same thing. It's not the same thing as the fear of man. See, when we are afraid of what people think about us or what people will say, then we are operating the fear of man. I think Prof talked about this last week in Proverbs 28, I believe, talking about the fear of man being a snare. When you are afraid of what people will think, God can give an instruction, you're afraid of what people will think. You know, especially for us as young people, that kind of pressure and peer pressure and what people will think, what people will say, you know, can cloud our minds and blind us from what God is showing us, or deafen us from what God is sharing and speaking to us. So, to these people that live by the fear of man, God's opinion is less important than the opinion of their fellow man. That's the fear of man. How do you know you're operating the fear of man? When God's opinion, God's word, God's instructions, God's thoughts are less important than the opinion of a fellow man. Are we saying we should disrespect men? No. See, that's why you now get to see that the fear of God can never be operated without the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 11, listing the spirits, the seven attributes of the Spirit, is one's Holy Spirit, but it has seven attributes, talking about the completeness of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of God, of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, of wisdom, of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of love. But the number one thing is the Spirit of the fear of God. You cannot master and learn and understand the fear of God without the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Because we'll get to see, before we finish, that you can fear God and still experience and walk in comfort and encouragement. You can fear God and still be rejoicing. That's how you know that the fear of God is really different from all these other fears I've talked about. The usual things that we've heard of being afraid of God, of being afraid or having the fear of man, or having that troubling fear of the devil that torments, or religious fear, you know, that is just a lie of putting on a font, you know, in a particular place. Now, what then is the fear of God? What then is the fear of God? Now, the fear of God, is this something that can affect you physically? Yes, it can. Not that it will make you afraid, like Moses said. He said when he saw God, he exceedingly quaked. The reason why he exceedingly quaked was like what they were singing, the magnificence of God. His eyes were open to see the magnificent God. God in his majesty. See, God, you know, we've been hearing God, and then our new, this 21st century kind of Christianity says, you know, God is love. Of course, God is love. It quotes the scripture, but it doesn't give you the complete picture of what the Bible is saying and what the Spirit means. They say, okay, well, God is love. I can just walk with him. You know, God chills. You know, we'd like to use those kind of grammar that we use amongst ourselves. And so we just think God is like us, forgetting that the entire universe that we've not even finished exploring cannot feel him. Are we together? That God created the heavens and the earth, the ants. I don't know that you've studied those things or you've watched maybe the creation, National Geographic. You know, if when you explore creation, then you know that the God that we're dealing with is not a God that you can comprehend with your natural mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the point we're trying to make is that the fear of God is a reverential awe of his majesty, of his glory, of his person, of his presence. He says that he's seated in heavens, yet he humbles himself to behold the things in the earth. He says that he measures the entire universe with the span of his hand. That's from here to here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yet he humbles himself to talk to you. He loves you. He made you. He's love. Are we together? Yet he's not our mate. Are we together? He's not to be disrespected. He's not to be messed with. And you see, the thing about the fear of God, you need to understand. You know, I said this, is that laws have been set into motion. So it's not that God is not wicked. God is good. God is love. So when a person messes up, that's what we're talking about, being quick to repent, quick to obey, is because laws have been set into motion. There is the law of gravity. There is a law of lift. It has already been set into motion. You know that while Jesus was on earth, while the Lord was on earth, is that the prince of this world is judged. He's already judged. Yet Satan was not in hell or the lake of fire. See, there is already law that has been set into motion. So when I sin, there is a judgment that seeks to be executed because I have moved from the law of life to that out of the law, out of this place of life. Now, like I said, it's very simple. I've said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. When I sin, I've automatically allowed another law to be in operation. That's why I have to quickly use the blood of Jesus so I can get back into the law of life. Are we together? So it's not so much of God holding a cane. I'm just waiting to chasten you. I'm just waiting. You begin, when you don't do certain things, you begin to cause another law to be in operation. And the way to get back into the law of life so that you don't get too much or too far in allowing the other law to operate is by quickly repenting and forsaking that thing. And just going deeper and deeper and deeper in life, in righteousness, in holiness, in purity. When they are looking for your brake light, Satan will not find your brake light. Okay, you are too deep and too much and too far gone in God. Too seated in the heavenly places. So if he wants to get there, he doesn't have a nosebleed. Are we together? The path of the righteous man shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Are we together? That's why it says, the fear of Lord is to depart from evil. Is a highway of life. Do you understand? It's a different path. It's a different trajectory. It's a different goal. But when I'm not operating the fear of God, then another law starts to operate and goes into operation. Or I'm allowing another law to go into operation. And I need to quickly repent and move deeper in the things of purity and life. Are we together? Now people are hearing what the word of God is saying. Yeah, so like we said, the fear of God, sometimes, like we said, it can have some physical, powerful, effects on the physical body. Let's continue to talk about the fear of God. Pleasing God. Like we said, the fear of God can only be apprehended by the person of the Holy Spirit, and like they showed us Isaiah 11, 1, 2, and 3. Now, I mentioned something about the fear of Isaac, that God wants to be our fear. You know, in one place in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus was saying, don't be afraid of them that kill the body, but be afraid of him that can kill the body and destroy it in hell. Now, of course, what he was saying that again is a healthy fear and respect. He was trying to say, don't fear man, because the fear of man is snare. Have respect for God, above all. Now, but the point I'm trying to make about the fear of Isaac, give me Genesis 31:42. Genesis 31:42. See, when God is your fear, you will not be afraid of anything. Do you understand? His healthy respect will swallow up all the afraids, if I can use that word. Are we together? Afraid of heights, afraid of tomorrow, afraid of next year, afraid of what will become of my life, school is on strike, afraid, you know what people are afraid of? We have different fears, that God wants to uproot. But when God is your fear, all those are afraid to be afraid of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to paint a picture. I'm trying to use a natural human language, that we can all understand. When God is your fear, God is your healthy respect. And you see, when the time when this word came into play was when Laban tried to intimidate Jacob. He tried to make him afraid. That why have you taken my daughters? Why have you taken my grandchildren? You know, you've stolen from me. I'm going to deal with you. And the way Jacob brought and invoked the name of the Lord, said, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, to show you that I am afraid of you. I have something I fear. I have someone I fear. That, and you know what happened that night? God appeared to Laban and said, don't mess with my son. Don't mess with him. And that was when he turned around. And so you see, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the what? Fear of Isaac had been with me. Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. I'm not afraid of you. Because the guy brought arms. He was ready to deal with Jacob. Now, check verse 53. Give me verse 53. Just twice in the Bible, that thing is mentioned. Enough to be established before our very eyes that we should walk with God so much that God wants to be our fear, our healthy respect, our healthy reverence. Not the fear of man, not the fear of the devil, not the fear of religion. Not allowing any of them to encroach our lives. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swear by the what? I can't hear you. By the what? Fear of his father Isaac. Now, we might not know in detail yet. I know by revelation God will show us why God will call him himself the fear of Isaac. I know Isaac lived a clean life. He had one wife, son of Abraham. He willingly offered himself, you know, when Abraham took him. He did not shake. He did not vex for the 100-year-old man or 100-and-something-year-old man and say, I ain't following you. You ain't going to sacrifice me. The fear of Isaac can be seen in his reverential attitude for God, in obeying his father, submitting to God, in marrying one wife, in seeking God when his wife was without child, in seeking God when his wife had twins. Of course, it was the wife that sought God. But, you know, the wife emulated him. That the two nations, and God now revealed to her that the two nations, what I'm trying to say is that his lifestyle and his respect for God and his word and his instructions, even though there was no Bible then, you know, showed that God was his fear. The way Isaac walked showed that God was his fear. And of course, you have to read about Isaac more to know and be able to deduce this and fish it out. So the fear of the Lord comes only by the Holy Spirit. Without it, we are incomplete. I'm extremely vulnerable to pride and the other fears. Without engaging the Holy Spirit and learning from the Holy Spirit about the fear of God and how to walk in the fear of God, then there's every tendency to be vulnerable to pride, to false humility, and to any other fear that is not the fear of God. Are we together? Okay, good. Now, give me Psalms 34, 11 to 13. Psalms 34, 11 to 13. There are conditions that we must meet to walk in the fear of God. I know Prof also broke it down about acknowledging God, recognizing the reality of God, you know. But there are conditions from scriptures that we must also, in addition, there are conditions from scriptures that we must also fulfill to recognize that, okay, am I walking in the fear of God? Okay, if I want to learn the fear of God, because the fear of God is something to learn. It's not something I'll just have in one day. The more of God's godly fear I have, the less of the other fears I will have in my life. Are we together? And like he was teaching last time, he said, you know, you can be healthy in one part, another part still needs to be well cooked. We were talking about kebab. You know, so you want the whole thing to be cooked so you can eat the whole part. It's not that meat is cooked here and meat is not cooked here. So now, he says, come ye my children. Let's listen to that. Come ye children. Hearken unto me. I will do what? Teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is something I need to learn. The Bible says that the Lord just learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned the fear of God. He understood the fear of God. The fear of God is something that we gradually learn. It's like going to school. You learn. You learn it. Come, children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of God. What man is he that desireth love, life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from what? Speaking guile. Next verse. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He's telling us what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord includes departing from evil. Let's read it together again. It includes being being willing, being teachable. He says, I will teach you the fear of God. For you to understand and walk in the fear of God, first you must be teachable. You must say, Holy Spirit, teach me the fear of God. It doesn't drop from heaven. It doesn't just fall like ripe cherries. You must be something that you submit to. It must be something that you are willing to learn. When you are willing, then he will be able to show himself to you. He'll be able to reveal himself unto you. He'll be able to reveal his fear unto you. He'll be able to help you to understand and appreciate and apprehend his fear. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He now says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days? Because the benefits of the fear of God includes living long. Are we together? And enjoying many days. He now says, what must the person do again? Keep your tongue from evil. Which confirms the word that the fear of Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of Lord is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom talking. And I know Prof mentioned last week that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Progress in wisdom, instruction of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of God itself is wisdom. So from beginning, from A, through letter B, C to Z, is still the fear of God. Do you understand? Do you understand? So what brings you to be like Jesus, to think like him, to be spiritually intelligent, spiritually wise, physically wise, secularly wise, is the fear of God. Because the fear of God is what? Wisdom. So what brought us to that point? In Proverbs 8, it says that wisdom, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, to love righteousness, to hate pride, the evil way. So when we are going back to the fear of God, all around the scripture is all the same thing that it's the same. See, the vision is one, the dream is the same. The interpretation is sure. The fear of the Lord, it says, keep your tongue from evil. I will teach you the fear of God, so you must be willing and teachable. Then the next thing is that you must keep your tongue from evil. How much time do I speak righteous or evil above pure words? That's another way you can measure the fear of God in your life. Keep your tongue from evil. Do you overtalk? Do you speak more evil than good? Do you backbite? Keep your tongue from evil. It's telling us how we can measure the fear of God in our lives. And then it also tells us your lips from speaking deceit. Seek good. Seek peace. You know? So that gives us an understanding, a few steps in knowing how much am I fearing God? How much of the fear of God do I have in my life? Am I honest and humble? Am I teachable? Then what do I say? Do I speak evil more than good? Do I seek good and peace, or rather division and speak deceit? That's Psalms 34, you know, 11 to 13. Thank you. It says the fear of the Lord again. Look at it. It's not different. The fear of the Lord is what? Hate evil. Like that Psalms 34. Pride and arrogancy, which is the opposite of humility. And the evil way, like evil speaking. And the froward mouth do I hate. If you go back to Psalms 34, you will see that he talked about the mouth, the tongue. First is an attitude. Am I proud? How humble am I? To what degree am I humble? To the degree to which you are humble is the degree to which you fear God. To the degree to which I am humble is the degree to which I fear God. The degree to which I speak evil is the degree to which I fear God. So you can see the way God defines the fear of God is totally different from afraid. Do you understand? Good. Let's quickly talk about the benefits and the blessings. I know that this also was mentioned last week. See, the wisdom of God, we know that the major thing, the major channel to receiving the wisdom of God is the fear of God. Is that attitude. So anytime I say the fear of God, the first thing that should come to your mind is an attitude. Is an attitude, is a reverential awe and respect for God, our Father. And it has to do with being teachable, being humble. It has to do with loving righteousness and hating sin. It has to do with not despising and having an evil tongue. It has to do with not despising people, loving them. It has to be being forgiven. It has to be being humble. And so, when we now come to the benefits of the fear of God, we say that the major thing and number one thing is wisdom. Say wisdom. See, wisdom is not the same thing as intellectual. It's not the same thing as being intellectual. You have many intellectual fools. Huh? It's not the same thing as being intellectual. You have many people that are intellectual here. They are the one causing problems on the planet. So it has nothing to do with intellectual, being intellectual. The total wisdom of God is staggering, is immense. Our finite minds cannot comprehend or cannot have it all because it's massive. And the Bible says that, you know, like it says, the fear of God, that is wisdom. Give me Psalms 111 verse 10. Psalms 111 verse 10. And you see, it's amazing that the number one channel to get wisdom, the Bible says that which is not God's will, that the children of this world are wiser than the generation of the children of light. Why? Because we have not majored on the major, which is the fear of God, which is wisdom, which is the principal part of wisdom, which is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the principal part of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And God wants us to be the most innovative. He wants us to show to not just men, but to principalities and powers his manifold wisdom. Then we must walk in his fear. We must walk in his respect. We must walk in his adoration and honor. And this translates in an attitude of obedience to him. Gradual. You see, it's not overnight, but it's something that we grow in. It is something that we learn. When you say even computers are learning right now, the thing doesn't do everything at once. But because of a repetitive approach, the computer is learning. The way Google can suggest things is because the computer is learning. It's called machine learning. The machine is learning. It's watching when you play a game with it. It's watching the different roles that you play. And then it is learning. And so when it is playing with you, it is more intelligent than it was a few minutes before. That is what we call learning. The Bible says that the Lord just, he learned obedience by the thing which he suffered. So learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. It's all about learning. It's continuous learning. But for you to learn, for you and me to learn that attitude, that thing that is the principal part of wisdom, we must be willing. We must be humble. We must be teachable. That's why it says, come children, I will teach you wisdom. I will teach you the principal part of wisdom. Now, before we go on, let me just show you something about wisdom versus intellect. You need to distinguish between wisdom and intellectual education. Like I said, it is possible to be highly educated and still be a fool. And we have many of them. All right? But wisdom is from the inward part. Give it to me in Psalms 51. Or Psalms, is it Psalms 51? Yes, Psalms 51 verse 6. To show you that wisdom is from inside. Is as a result of fearing God. As a result of revering God, as a result of having a healthy respect, love, obedience for God, repentance when he corrects me. Are we together? Repentance when he corrects me. And so in Psalms 51 verse 6, it says, God desires truth in the inward parts. He reveals himself to us in the inward parts. When you are born again, it is God, it is inside your spirit that wisdom comes from. And it enlightens your mind. It gives you insights, concepts, ideas, innovation. It gives you guidance. That is not something that you will learn in school. Thank God for school. Thank God for the knowledge that you receive in school, which is from the five physical senses due to research, observation, experiments, you know, and trials. But wisdom is from the inward part. And the port, the channel by which that wisdom can come is by revering God, giving God his place, asking God for wisdom. I know that I don't know it all. Asking God is a sign of humility because he knows it all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Acknowledging him is a sign of humility because I know that I cannot trust my own intellect. He gave me the brain. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he knows it all. Remember those guys during the time of Joshua, they thought they knew it, but the guys had lied, the Gibeonites. And the Bible said Joshua did not acknowledge God, which was a mistake. He thought, oh, this is a cheap thing. It's okay. But the Gibeonites lied. If he had acknowledged God, God would have showed him. And that was what David always did. He always acknowledged God. Shall we go? He said, no, don't go this way. Wait for the mulberry trees. Little things. You see, something we have to learn. Because even in little things, it might have worked yesterday, but we feel okay, it will work today again. We must learn. He's learning. Again, he's learning. And you see, we're in the age of machine learning. And that word learning is going to keep reoccurring. And God wants to use it to teach us that we ourselves need to learn of him. Are we together? Do we understand? Yeah. So, is it possible for me to fear God and rejoice? Give me Psalms 2:11. We're trying to pull down strongholds about this word, fear of God. But before we go on, can you give us that Psalms 50 again? Psalms 51. Let's see. He makes us know wisdom in the inward parts. I want you to see that the fear of God, the wisdom of God that we're talking about, is as a result of your relationship and your fear and interaction with God. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know what? In the what? Where? Hidden parts. Have you heard of this in Peter, the book of Peter? The hidden man of the heart is the hidden man, is the recreated human spirit that fears God, where that attribute is. I must be born again for me to be able to receive the wisdom of God, that is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It is from the inward part. It's not from school. Thank God for the knowledge I get in school. But the thing that breathes on that knowledge, the thing that makes that knowledge come alive, the thing that gives life, that brings life to a dead knowledge, the thing that brings resurrection life and even, you know, diminishes the knowledge I get from school, is the wisdom from the inward part. The Bible says that God gave, as for these four children, God gave them wisdom. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had to understand all visions and dreams. There was as God gave Solomon exceedingly large heart. He gave him wisdom. Why didn't he get it from just observing? It's limited. His senses are limited. So God had to blow it up. What he was seeing, he wasn't seeing like natural man again. He was seeing deeper. He was seeing beyond his peers. Are we together? So you want the fear of God. You want the wisdom of God that will set you apart at least 10 times better than your peers. And the Bible says that at the end of days, this is a scripture I've been confessing for myself and for my family. As for these four children, as for four of us in this family, God gives us wisdom, knowledge, understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the Bible says at the end of days, and then I start it in this end time, because this is at the end of days. When Daniel was interviewed and inquired, they were found 10 times better than their peers. So you can see God has brought even from that story, historical story, into a present truth at the end of days. At this end time, God wants us to be what? 10 times better than our peers, but that comes from the fear of God, a healthy respect of God. And you can see that from the life of Daniel. He would rather stick to the word of God than the fear of man. That man said, he said, you will not eat from the king's table. I should give you 10 days. What if the king deals with me? Daniel said, chill out. Chill out. Give us 10 days. He put his trust in God rather than his trust in man. He put in fear in God rather than his fear of man. Are we together? And at the end of 10 days, he found them what? Fatter, fresher, and finer than their peers. Are we together? I'll begin to round up now. So we are not instructed simply to serve the Lord, but to serve the Lord with fear. And so Psalms 2:11 shows us that it is impossible, it is possible, you know, to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. People cannot understand how you can talk about the fear of the Lord, or one kind of fear, and still be rejoicing. But when we talk about the fear of God, because it springs from the same God that is light, that is love, that is the only place you can find joy. Because it is the fear of God, and joy and rejoicing is of the Lord. It is only in God that you can find that combination, seamlessly. Because normally people will say, when you see people that are afraid, are they rejoicing? Are they rejoicing? No. But here in scripture it says, behold thou, Psalms 2, it says that serve the Lord rejoicing, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with what? Trembling. Again, we are trying to say that God's fear is healthy. It comes with joy. You say you fear God, and you are rejoicing. I cannot put 2 + 2 together in that respect. That's why it is by the Spirit. That's why it is God. That's why it is springing from God. Because God is light, and God is love. And so in the spiritual realm, it is actually the fear of the Lord that releases joy, that releases rejoicing, because God is light, God is love. And When you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. And in the same God, you have the fear of God. So how can you separate joy from the fear of God? It's from the same person, and it's emanating from the same person. Just some benefits to round off. You see, the fountain of life, the fountain of wisdom, the fountain of joy is from the same person. Secrets from the Lord comes when you fear Him, when you respect Him, when you honor Him, when you stand in awe of Him. Psalms 25:12. Psalms 25:12. Thank you. Psalms 2:11 talks about fearing God and rejoicing and trembling. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he what? Teach the way that he should what? Choose. Choose what course. Choose what school. Choose what life partner. Choose where to go. Choose what to do. Choose. You're looking for making the right choices. Learn to fear God. Develop and walk in that attitude of respect, so that when that day comes, when you have to make some critical decisions and choices, you are not dismayed. You are not confused. Are we together? Those are some of the benefits. Verse 14. Give me verse 14. Verse 14. Because God wants us to delight in fearing Him and honoring Him. Verse 14. The what? Secret of the Lord. I don't care what career you are in, what phase. The secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear Him, and He will show them what? His covenant. So, later, we are seeing, we've talked about this, that the fear of the Lord is clean. See, many of the things that we are hearing and reading and bombarding us, from billboards to TV adverts, you know, and the movies that are coming out, they are unclean, but the fear of the Lord is clean. It will help you to sanctify what you should hear and discern and desire what you should hear and what you should watch and what you should delight in. It will let you know so that you can make the choice. It will set before you life and death. It will make it clear when you have the fear of God, because the fear of the Lord is clean. And so we're already talking about learning the fear of God, keeping your tongue from evil. We must be willing to learn, because He wants to teach us the fear. You know, we must depart from evil and do good. And one of the other benefits I also want to mention is Psalms 128. It said, where is the man that fears God? It talks about that he'll be blessed in the issue of marriage. He'll be blessed in the issue of career. That's what Psalms 128 says. So there are times when the issue of relationship, issue of career, one of the major things you can stand on is when you are fearing God and you fear God. You can actually use it as a basis to say, God, I fear you. And you know, because I'm learning to fear you and I appreciate fearing you and I long to fear you more. Concerning the issue of marriage, this is a promise you have given to the man that fears you. Concerning the issue of career, this is the word that you have given to the man that fears you. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, whether man or woman, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. How many people want to eat the labor of their hands? Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with you. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house. Thy children shall be olive plants round about thy table. The people, the women that helped the Israelites, when Pharaoh gave, you see again, there was a fear of man, there was a fear of God. When Pharaoh gave that word that they should throw away all the male child, there were housewives, I believe, midwives that feared the Lord. And the Bible says that God built them a home. There are two particular women. It says that God built them a home. So, irrespective of what you are thinking about or what area of your life you are thinking about and checking whether there's any benefit of fearing God, it covers every area from wisdom to home, you know, to eternal life, you know, and so on and so forth. But how then can we walk in the fear of God? I'll just end with this. You must make that intentional choice. Taunton will say, you must make that choice. You must make that intentional choice daily. Proverbs chapter 1 tells us that when you choose the fear of God, I'll pour out my spirit upon you and you listen to my rebukes. You must intentionally choose. That's why we make that confession every day. I choose to fear God. I choose to honor God. I choose to respect God. I choose to stand in awe of God. I choose to fear Him and have that healthy respect of Him. I choose to love Him, to obey His instructions, like Prophet was talking about. The fear of God is the instruction of wisdom. You keep saying it. Yes, you might have some falls. Well, a righteous man falls 7 times. But you stand up again and say, I choose it. You choose it because you keep learning it. Are we together? You keep choosing it. You keep choosing it. Don't let the devil run you out of it, or lie you, or take his, or sow his lie out of it. Oh, look at you. You choose it and you're still messed up. I choose it. You keep realigning your satellite dish to the fear of God, to that station of the fear of God. Even when the wind comes and blows you, you choose it again. You come to church. The engineer will correct you and rebuke you. The Holy Spirit will correct you and align you to the station of the Lord. Do you understand? To wisdom. You choose it. Keep choosing it. Don't stop. Keep choosing it. Before you know it, it will permanently start aligning, and you will keep hating the evil, and the wind will come, but you will not blow. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So wisdom continues to make her fervent appeal to humanity. You know, choose the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1, if you can find that. The fear of Lord is to hate evil. You know? And, you know, if we have the fear of God, we'll not tolerate evil or compromise with evil, because the fear of God loves righteousness. The fear of Lord is to hate evil. You need to keep saying it. I choose to fear God. I hate evil. You use your mouth, though. The way you experience the fear of God and salvation is by believing in your heart, confessing your mouth, and believing in your heart. The same way you got born again is the same way you are going to go into perfection. It's the same way you are going to walk in the fear of God. It's the same way you are going to survive. It's the same way you are going to thrive and not just exist. Even though you are born again, the same way you got born again, same thing you keep using. Your mouth must not speak evil. You must speak good. I continue to choose the fear of God. I continue to believe it in my heart. And then you begin to walk it out in reality and experience it. So, I've mentioned all this, you know. I'll just end with this. You know, I mentioned it in passing, but I want us to love the fear of God. God wants us to love the fear of God. God wants us to enjoy and delight in the fear of God. And we see that the fear of God is not something to be afraid of, you know. Yes, like we said, there's certainty of judgment, not because God is wicked, but because those things have been set into motion. There are laws. If you are not rising, the person is falling. True or false? Okay, so Acts. I wish I can find it. I hope I don't miss it. Comfort and encouragement. Acts 9:31. Just to show us, we've talked about how to walk in the fear of God, choose the fear of God, speak good and not evil, despise evil, love the good. You know, but just to show us that we really need the Holy Spirit to help us walk in this fear of God. Another scripture that shows us is Acts 9:31. Since the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria, they had peace and were edified. They were walking in what? The fear of the Lord and the what? Comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they were what? Multiplied. So it is possible to walk in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But observe, what comes first? The fear of the Lord before what? Comfort. When you put comfort before fear, you've got into error. Because Satan can really deceive you. You get into emotions. But when you get into the fear of God, then you get wisdom on how to experience comfort and encourage people, or even receive encouragement for yourself. And you'll experience multiplication. Are we together? We're saying again the importance of inviting and allowing the Holy Spirit, or being teachable, you know, to the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we can really walk in the reality of this fear thing that we're talking about, this fear of Lord that we are talking about. No, it's not the negative fear that we've heard over the years, or the fear that comes through the senses, but this fear comes by the Spirit, by revelation, and by humbling ourselves. Let's bow our heads as we pray. You know, I just want to talk to God. God, I want to have a healthy respect for you. I want to understand the fear of God. There's so much about the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. It is wisdom. It sets me apart. It's not the negative fear or afraid that we've been hearing over the years, all our lives. We say, this fear of God is clean. This fear of the Lord is different. This fear of the Lord is something He wants us to delight in. It's the fear of the Lord that Jesus had, that prayers were answered. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is the instruction of wisdom. It is wisdom. It has benefits that I will enjoy in this life that transcends this life. Eternal benefits. This fear of God helps you to fulfill purpose and destiny. You yourself, you delight in it. That's why you have the spirit of the fear of God. And He said, I will send another helper. Hallelujah. A helper that will help you in fearing me. That will help you to understand what it means to fear me. That will help you that will teach you what it means to fear me, so you can experience the benefits and the reality of fearing me. And then, when you experience the reality and you understand what it means to fear me, then you begin to enjoy the benefits that come with fearing me. Wisdom, long life, good health, great family, wonderful children. I will reveal the secrets of the universe to you, the secrets of business, the secret of leadership, the secrets of science and art and social science, the secrets of the universe. I will reveal them to you. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But a healthy respect is what I desire. This is the man to whom I will look, who trembles at my word. Oh God, grant us your fear. Help us to understand your fear. Help us to choose your fear, to love your fear, to love you, to fear you, to love you, to walk with you, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, to submit to you, to submit to your truth, to submit to the truth that you bring through our fathers, through the fivefold ministry. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, but he will also raise men through whom he will teach. But are we teachable to that point? Are we submissive to his word? That's where the secret of the universe is. He wants to open it so that he can show the devil that he made a bloody mistake. He made a big mistake. He will reveal his manifold wisdom to principalities and powers through us, the church. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to choose your fear every day. Grant us personal revelation of what it means to fear you. And grant us grace to walk in your fear all the days of our lives, 24/7, so that we can reap and enjoy the benefits of fearing you. And that you will be our fear, like you were the fear of Isaac. Help us to walk in your fear, to be teachable, to walk in your fear. Do a new work in our hearts, in our lives, so I will fear you and will truly be reflectors of your glory, representatives of your kingdom, and truly men will fear you with rejoicing. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Thank you, Lord Joseph. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for personal wisdom and revelation. The spirit of the fear of God. Rest upon our hearts and afresh and rekindle the fire, the flame of your fear, Lord God, of your reverential honor and respect, Lord God, Father, to your spirit, to your word, Lord God, to those that you raise up, Lord God, Father, to teach us, O Lord God, your fear. Help us to submit, to love righteousness, to despise evil, to speak, O Lord God, Father, good, O Lord God, and despise evil, Lord God. I will not lend our tongue to evil. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. God